Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is Ball Don't Lie, episode 170, man. It's been a couple weeks, been 2 weeks, but we are back. If you're watching this on the YouTube, man, we appreciate you. YouTube.com/Barbershop Network. You know to follow me and Dante on Twitter at Barbershop Scott. At October Zone Tay, follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and IG at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back to doing this podcast once a week. So, because unfortunately, the NFL season's coming to an end. Very sad about that, because now I have to pay attention to Adam Silver's cooked product as you know, nightly now. And I know as you're saying, this guy hosts a basketball podcast. How's he hate basketball? I don't hate basketball. Actually, I'm a big NBA fan, but there's nothing like NFL warfare. And I'm going to miss that for the next 8 months. Now, it will be fun to watch what the Bears are going to do this offseason, but I'm going to miss the game. So we're going to have to watch the NBA. But me and Dante are here. Visit the BCNet.com. We're going to talk about everything going on in the association these last couple of weeks, man. But let's start off with something we didn't even originally have on the rundown. We're actually, as we're recording this, is Monday night. We're both watching this abomination of a game, Los Angeles Lakers versus the Brooklyn Nets. Well, if you paid for money, if you went out of your time, you probably had a long day of work. And if anybody who lives in New York or been in New York travel,
you took the train to this
you
shit.
You took the train, nigga, to Brooklyn to watch the man, the talent formerly known as Russell Westbrook, go up against Kyrie Irving. 5-6 years ago, this is a marquee matchup. Nobody wants to see this. LeBron James is not playing. Anthony Davis is not playing. A guy who has a legitimate injury. And Kevin Durant is not playing. And I say legitimate because me and my esteemed podcast partner, me and my business partner, he's the president of this company. We had a nice conversation. Look, we're about to get into conversation about this little thing called load management. Something that I fucking hate. Now, I feel like this. If you're actually hurt and you can't play, cool. But the thing that pisses me off about this is the Lakers didn't play last night. This isn't even one of those, oh, it's a back-to-back type thing, which is still weak as hell. They played 48 hours ago. But since then, they panties in a bunch because of the no calls. And we'll get to officiating in a minute. They're like, you know what? Fuck Adam Silver. We're going to sit out one of his marquee games on NBA TV this week. Now, you have experience with this because you flew out from one side of the country to come out here to California, to the Bay Area, to watch the Warriors, and none of them niggas played. Now, I'm going to let you go on the
yes, rant. Yes, yes, yes. And ladies and gentlemen, unlike the little boy from Argentina, I didn't get a picture or no tickets or none of that shit.
I ain't get no signed jersey.
I just spent however many $100 I spent on that fucking ticket, and I get on the plane, and we about an hour in, and it's boop, boop, you know, Steph Curry out, sprained thumb, you know. And his thumb probably wasn't even hurt, but it was a sprained thumb. All right, cool. I put my headphones back on, take me a little nap. I wake up, Klay Thompson not playing, sprained hamstring. I'm like, okay, all right, this is some bullshit. No way, no way. As I'm getting to Oakland, Draymond Green, load management, he's out. I said, two motherfuckers. Y'all are kidding me right now. Like, it's no way in hell. I touched down, bro. I gotta find the video, Jordan Poole, nigga. I came out, and this is pre-Jordan Poole. This is KD. I got to see KD, but it was okay. Like it was KD, JaVale McGee, and the gang. Like that's who I saw when I went out there, G. And I got on this plane expecting to see the fully loaded Warriors. I think one of them was all. I think Klay was the one who was like hurt. So like I didn't expect Klay to be there.
So this everybody was the 2018, else, 2019. Season.
Yes, bro. I was gross. I was hurt. Like I couldn't believe it. So no, I'm anti-load management 1,000%. But this all goes to you know the growth of the business of basketball. How these guys come into the league with so many miles on their body. They play so many AAU games, so many college games that you know. The wear and tear just finally starting to see. But like you said, a game like today, this was clearly the Lakers are like trying to punish the league. It's like, all right, y'all keep fucking us. But to their point, the four games that they lost on some bullshit, if they won those four games, they in fourth place.
Look, man, the Bulls would have six more wins if it wasn't for – you know how many times the Bulls been fucked over?
Oh, they've been bad across the board. The rest have been bad across the board.
And that's actually a perfect segue into our first topic. We're not just officiating the NBA, but this is a basketball show. We're going to stick it to basketball. You know, I had a major fucking problem with that last Patrick Mahomes flag that I will rant about on I'm Not Gonna Hold You.
Nah, they caught it any day.
bro, you not. I don't like that being called at the end of the game with the season on the line. You got to let that rock.
You got to let it rock. That was a penalty.
I just don't like it when it's decided by the refs. And to me, you look the other way. You look the other way and you let it rock. But,
go ahead.
It's a basketball podcast.
You're right.
The Lakers were screwed this weekend. The Lakers were screwed. And I want to preface this by saying, with any type of sport, whether it's MLB, NBA, NFL, you should not put yourself in position to where a call matters that much. Want to shoot the officials some bail with that. They are highly trained professionals. They are at the top of their game. Having said all of that, there needs to be some type of accountability for these refs when they fuck up. Y'all know how I feel about LeBron. I'm not a LeBron fan. The nigga was fouled. Blatantly fouled. Like, there was no discussion. This isn't a let's go to the booth, have the challenge. That's a fucking foul. Like, by far, that's a foul. We've seen it time and time again. It's not just in this game. We've seen it. The Lakers have had this. I think the two teams that I've seen the most suffer from this will be the Lakers and also the Bulls. Yes, both of these teams are not good teams. Both of these teams are in the position that they're in more because of the play of these two teams, more of the refs. But both of these teams have legitimate gripes that they would have at least 4 to 5 more wins. Those little bullshit, last night we fucked up. This should have been a foul call when DeMar shot the ball. LeBron's hand was slapped. They both have, arguments that can be made. My issue with this, players aren't able to say anything about the officials. They get fined. They can't say anything about them being upset. There needs to be fines for officials. I feel if the officials fuck up, they should be fined. Because then there's some accountability there. Then they'll think twice about this when they're making these play calls. And I'm not saying that they don't already think twice. I don't want to disrespect the arts of officiating because the game moves too damn fast. And it's moving even faster than we think it is by watching the game. But there needs to be some accountability here. If you fuck up something, okay, now you got to pay the fine. Or maybe you don't work this game because you fucked up. And I just feel like something needs to be done because this is happening too much across the board. And this is a poorly officiated game in general. There was a lot of calls that went for the Celtics didn't get was bullshit. You can even look a couple plays before the LeBron missed foul call. The fucking foul that tied the game. That call was late as hell. And that's nothing. I feel like if it's past a certain amount of time, there shouldn't be a play call. There's something that Stacey King said that I see there's something rampant across the league. You notice if you see like a shooter, they go for a shot, and if they make it, they don't call it. But if they miss it, they call it. That type of bullshit needs to be stopped. And I feel like Adam Silver needs to have some type of accountability for these officials.
Yeah, you got a lot of FanDuel-ass calls where it's like, whoa. Like, the and one to take the tie of the game was absolutely ridiculous simply because how late it was called. Like, if you're going to call the foul right when they made contact. But for you to wait, bucket went in, boop, and one, like, it was like, no, bro. Like, in that moment, for you to do that and then turn around and come down the court and not call that play the foul for LeBron, which, you know what I'm saying, everybody – we all laughed and joked about his reaction, but it's like, nah, bro. That was one of those.
He was doing too much, though. A nigga act like Bronny got shot in the middle of the fucking street.
Those one of those clear joints where it's like, all right, bro. Like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, what's really going on?
Yeah, it was the reaction was a lot. Now I feel like that reaction and Pat Bev, the greatest technical in the history of the NBA.
That was hilarious
by far. The greatest technical in the history of the NBA.
That beast Rasheed just staring at him and getting attacked.
Oh, like, nigga.
That is officially.
Because before we saw it, I saw Stan Van Gundy said he needs to be ejected. I was like, what the fuck happened? I was like, first I thought he was talking about LeBron. I'm like, yeah, LeBron overreacted with ejected.
That man said.
But the man grabbed the camera, brought it to the ref, and pointed. I was like, yeah.
Bro was like, that's a foul. That's a foul. That shit was hilarious, bro.
It was ridiculous. And Pat Bev was like, you trying to fuck up my game. Because Pat Bev had that game one, too, with the dunk.
Yeah, the putback dunk? That was the
putback dunk. Well, I couldn't do nothing but laugh. And it was just, man, we see this too much, man. And I just think for the fans, you know, for the players, for the teams, somebody that there's so much you just mentioned it. If they won these certain games, they'd probably be a game or two out of first place. There's so, especially in the West, the teams are so close. A loss or two can have your ass at home. come mid-April. Yeah. So there needs to be more accountability for that, man. I just feel like the NBA needs to do something between that, between the officials and between load management. I hope y'all ready for a long lockout, because that shit is coming, especially with the load management. I forgot the stat. Somebody said on Levitar, I think it was like teams have paid like $25 million this season alone to like a certain amount of players who have missed games. That shit's not going to fly. There's going to be something that's going to come where, oh, we're paying you all this money, y'all got to play. So I think that's going to be something we're going to see when the CBA discussion starts.
Yeah, this is the time when that, you know, these niggas are slaves conversation is like really about to meet its match. Because which it's I like hate. At this point, yeah, they high paid employees. I think it's ridiculous. Like, you're not a slave because you can't ride a jet ski in the off season, nigga. Like I understand that like some owners are wild and like, you know, their mentality and the way that they see people as property is crazy, but I think that's every job. And like at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? You sign this contract, you get a check. There are certain stipulations and go from there. And so when you see the amount of power and control the players have been able to exercise since the decision, like this is partially, I don't want to say LeBron's fault, but he, you know, brought a lot of this up.
And this is influence.
His influence as well as Christopher Paul, as you know, the Players Association president, you know, because he's the one who negotiated the Supermax and all of that, that, you know, basically rewards all of the older players and players who, you know, outplay the contract, rightfully so, but at the same time, it still kind of shorts some of the guys on the bottom end, which, you know, other players talked about. So
yeah, you're not going to save everybody.
Yeah, no, you can't, and you're going to save the top. But they're going to run into the same problem, because I'm with you, it's going to be a very long lockout, and they're going to run into the same problem where you're going to have the guys who are making the league minimum saying, yo, I want to play. I want to play. And the rich guys are sitting there like, no, let's hold out for more. Because a lot of this, I'm unhappy, I'm demanding a trade, I'm gonna sit out the James Harden shit where he just goes and says, you know what, I'm gonna just get out of shape and, you know, trade me. Like that, he's done that two different places, bro, where he just came in fat as hell and was like, yeah, I don't wanna be here.
Which is why I'm glad the Nets told KD the fuck out of here this summer when he tried to get out of a deal with 4 fucking years left. Like, and 99.9% of the time, I'm siding with the players. The players are the ones that make this machine go. There's no league without the players. They're here to come. The fans fill out these arenas. Fans buy merchandise. Fans buy jerseys to players. But at the same time, if you're getting paid millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, how is it bad that your employer wants you to actually fucking play? You know what I'm saying? Like we said, I think the biggest part in this argument or this discussion that's going to happen is how are you going to tell somebody who's hurt? You know, it's going to have to be a way. There's going to have to come a way where you decide the difference between hurt and injured. Kevin Durant is injured. He can't play. Anthony Davis and LeBron could have played today. I think they just want to give a middle finger to the fucking NBA because of what happened on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? If this was a back-to-back, you could have sold me on it, especially with AD coming back after just 2 games. You could have sold me on that. But it's ridiculous. And then I know how it is. Like, me and you, we're both blessed to be able to go to a lot of sporting events. You know, we're able to. I counted. I went to 30 sporting events last year with NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. I remember a time where I could only go to a game once a year if I was lucky. And I was actually blessed to be in that position. There was a lot of kids whose parents can't afford a game, period. And I was lucky to go once a year.
Yeah, I think about shit like that when, like, I go to the ballpark for 5 times in 8 days or some shit like that. You know, I'm there literally every day. Walking on the field and, like you said, being at these events. And then when you go as a fan, because now, you know what I'm saying, we older, we don't do, I know me personally, like I've seen where you sit and I've met you at games, we don't do nosebleeds. Like,
no, bro, we don't
You work too hard to sit in shitty seats, bro. So just to see the difference,
the highest I'm sitting is a press box, and even they got food in that motherfucker.
Yeah, free food.
You know what I'm saying? Free food. Like, it's just I'm very bougie with my seating, with my seats, with sporting events. Now, I'm past the part of my life where I'm just happy to be there. No, nigga, I need to be in nice shit. So, like, but there's some kids out there, their parents don't have the money. They're only able to see. And maybe let's just think, put yourself in a parent's position. Imagine you're a parent, you got a job, like most Americans, doesn't make that much money. And you're like, okay, man, I got tickets. I'm going to use tonight's example. I'm getting off work early. I'm going to take my kid to go see LeBron versus Kyrie. And most fans aren't junkies like us. So even with me, when I'm covering the Clippers, I'm checking injury reports before I leave the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, prime example, a couple weeks ago, the Clippers played the Nuggets. I see a notification on my phone, Nikola Jokic out with a hamstring. Guess what I did? I stayed my ass home. I was like, I'm not going all the way downtown to watch Aaron Gordon versus Kawhi Leonard. So, like, we pay attention to stuff. If you're a regular fan or a casual fan, you're not paying attention to that stuff. So you get there, your son or your daughter's excited, and fucking LeBron and AD on the sideline in some Gucci. You know what I'm saying? And things like that. So I just feel like there needs to be a compromise here. And I do think this, amongst other things, is why I feel like there's going to be a long lockout. And y'all better buckle up, man. So I'm going to expound more on this. So I'm not going to hold you this week, too. I got some more thoughts on that. But let's move on to the actual basketball. We just talked about the Lakers. So let's stay out here in L.A. The Lakers have actually been playing some decent basketball. Anthony Davis just came back. Now they got straight up shellacked by the Clippers. Clippers actually playing good ball. I'm going to take away the little 30-point loss they had to Cleveland on Sunday because Kawhi and Paul George were low managing. So we knew that was going to happen. But for the most part, Clippers been playing good ball. But like I've said on this podcast, what I've said about the Nets, I'm going to use the same thing with the Clippers. Until them niggas play 10 to 15 games healthy, I have nothing to say about that team. But the Lakers been playing much better. The problem for the Lakers is, yes, everybody keeps saying, well, they're only three games behind fourth place. Yes, but there's also four or five other teams that are in the same position. Not only do the Lakers have to borderline go flawless over these next 30-something games, they need other teams to lose. So they really can't afford to lose that much over these next couple games. So we got the trade deadline coming up next week, February 9th. The Lakers strike first. Now, there's two things I want to talk about. One, everybody talked about the big Miles Turner thing. Is he going to become a Laker? Miles Turner just signed a two-year extension with the Pacers, so that's dead. He can't get traded, so you can take that domino off the table. They say they traded for Rui Hachimura. I don't want to fuck his name up, but they just traded for him. He averaged 13 points, shot 49% from the field in the Washington Wizards. They traded him for Kendrick Nunn in three second-rounders, which is really a nothing trade. You would expect that they plan to keep him long-term. What's your thoughts on this trade before I give my opinion?
I think it's a decent trade. It's one of the better moves Rob Pelinka has made. Hachimura is a guy who, outside of everything you said offensively, he's 6'8". He can guard multiple positions, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going to make all NBA defense, but, he adds another large body in there for the Lakers because, size has been an issue for their squad. They've been running some lineups with Pat Bev and Russ, and they've been like just terrible on the plus or minus side. So I think that adds another quality player for them. So, like I said earlier, four or five plays get called different. The Lakers are sitting in fourth place. You feel me? So it's one of those moves where, like, it could seem like it's a small move and it may not be that impactful, but in the long run, it could be the difference between them being a play-in team or being a seeded team, a top 16.
Yeah, I like it. I like the move. One thing, living in Los Angeles, you see overreactions. I think it's a good trade. I didn't like how they hyped it up like they just traded for fucking Kevin Garnett. We don't need Rui Hachimura highlights on House of Highlights because this nigga got traded to the Lakers. The number one thing that pissed me off, not just with the Lakers, but in sports in general, when any team makes a trade or a free agency, they make a little dumbass graphic with the starting lineup. Who's going to stop this? You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. They have a squad now. Like, that was like, okay, whatever. Like, it's a good trade. It helps them out. Even though I have some questions about him defensively, I think it helps them out. I think it's a good move. So, you got more of a young piece. The only thing to me, let me talk about how close they are, standings-wise. This needs to be followed up by another move. If they stay right now, they just get Rui Hachimura or nothing else, I don't think nothing really changes. You know what I'm saying? They need another move. I think the entire league, not just the Lakers, are looking at what's my man name in Toronto? Masai Ujiri is going to do at the deadline. I think he holds all the keys. Is he going to keep Gary Trent Jr.? Is he going to keep a Fred Van Vliet? I know the Clippers are listening into the Fred Van Vliet thing because I know they need a point guard badly. Yeah. That would be somebody that would be perfect to go with the Clippers. So anybody's wondering, if this follows up with something where the Lakers can be able to get them a Fred Van Vliet or, an OG or a Gary Trent Jr., then, I like it even more. all none of these things matter if Anthony Davis doesn't stay healthy. That's just really what it comes down to. If you want to look at the whole LeBron James era in Los Angeles, yeah, you can make the jokes that I make, 3.5 rings. You know, they only made the playoffs twice in the 5 seasons. Yeah, take all that jokes aside. The reason why this window or run, you want to say, hasn't been as successful as possibly could have, has nothing to do with LeBron James. LeBron has done his part for the most part. It's all on the hands of Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, and Anthony fucking Davis. If Anthony Davis is healthy, we're not having half these conversations we've been having since they won in the bubble. You know this nigga's missed it literally 60% of the game since the bubble ended. Like, all none of these shits matter if Anthony Davis is not healthy. So if Anthony Davis is healthy and this is followed up by another move, I think the Lakers are in a prime position. Because one thing you got to look at, me and Pavi talked about this. We was at the Clipper game. It was one of the other Clipper beat writers, too. I forgot his name, so I don't want to fuck it up. But we had a discussion during halftime, you know, when they were playing the Mavericks. And we were saying, like, the Warriors and Lakers have two things in common to me. Both of them teams cannot be in a play-in game. Because if the Warriors in a play-in game, you convince me they could fuck around and lose a play-in game because Anthony Edwards caught fire. You convince me the Lakers could be in a play-in game and lose because, I don't know, Dame went crazy. But in a 7-game series, especially if you look at the top four, there's no real experience here. You take away Denver, you can't convince me in a 7-game series that the Grizzlies, I know the Grizzlies are a great team. You could sell me on the Lakers beating them with a healthy Anthony Davis just because those two have been there before. They're a battle-tested team, and you don't want Sacramento? Them niggas ain't never been. They can lose the Lakers, too. Same thing with the Warriors. The Warriors, they're in a 7-game series because of their championship medal, the defending NBA champions. They can knock off one of these young teams. But then a play-in, they're going to lose. So I really think it's all about them gearing up for that because they're still, to me, one or two moves away from being able to even be in that conversation. Because right now, they're just hoping for luck and hoping that 4 or 5 other teams in front of them lose, which I don't know how realistic it is at that point. There's only, like, 31 games left for these dudes.
Yeah, yes, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road. And, like, you know, you finally start to figure things out and, you know, feel like you're going strong. And, you know, once again, he's had a rough stretch in L.A. Because, you know, all of the Mr. Glass jokes, that's new. Like, when AD, like, he had got hurt a couple times in New Orleans, but he wasn't hurt like that.
They were never long injuries. Games, bro. They were ticky-tack injuries. Yeah.
It was ticky-tack shit that you expect, you know, a 7-footer to get. But now, as he's continued and, you know, and even though now it's still some fluke, it's always fluke shit. It's always.
Did you watch the game against the Spurs? Did you hear the collective breath? It's like somebody just took the air out of Staples Center every time this nigga hit the ground. Like there was one play, he landed on his knee, and even the Laker announced like, "Oh no, not again!" Like it's to that point with Anthony Davis, where it's not even funny no more.
And now, even though I don't like that when the announcers were like, "Oh, not again!" Like he's not trying to get hurt, bro. Like,
well,
come
I don't
on.
Think
like,
I think it was a natural reaction because it's like, "Oh shit!" You know, I don't think it was one of those they were trying to go in on AD. It was everybody in the building's natural. Like, even I'm not a Laker fan. I was on my couch like, "Oh, get the fuck out of here!" Like again, like we're not saying, you know, of course, AD. Nobody tries to get hurt, but it's just it's to that level now with this team, man. It's just like. I don't know. I'm just the Lakers just have a lot of question marks. And the fact we even give Pilar Pelinka, oh, look at Rob Pelinka doing his job. Like, that's how low
making
the
competent
bar is.
Moves and shit.
Look at him being smart for once. Like, that's where it's at.
Thought it, not me.
Yeah, that's where it's at, man. But let's go to the East, man. A team who's actually playing well right now, man. The Philadelphia 76ers. Now, you have their streak, how many games they've won.
7 in a row, 9 out of their last 10.
9 out of their last 10, big win on Saturday. You know, a big marquee matchup, of course, you know, since the NFL is coming to an end, the NBA has their Saturday marquee. They kicked off the marquee schedule with a triple header on Saturday, and the first game was Sixers, Nuggets, Embiid versus Jokic, and Embiid went out there. Probably he took it personal, man, because, you know, Jokic had a nice pedestrian game, but Embiid went out there 47 points. 18 rebounds, big comeback win, and he hit him with a little bink bink for the, you know, the game, still a three-pointer over Jokic. They're playing well right now. Do you have any faith on what the Philadelphia 76ers are doing?
I mean, it's the same thing we say every year. If they stay healthy, yeah. But, like, Do I expect him to stay healthy? I'm not sure. Do I expect James Harden to show up in a closeout game? I don't know. You know, he still be out there tweaking sometimes. But like you said, they've been playing really, really good basketball. But at the end of the day, if Embiid can't last the entire season, and we always talk about load management, but the usage rate, like Embiid gets a lot of touches. He has the ball in his hands a lot, even with Harden on the court. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, if Doc can properly, you know, balance this and get them healthy into the playoffs, and even though, like, you need some luck to come in at some point, but I think they have to stay healthy. If they stay healthy, then yeah, I think they can definitely be a threat to Boston, you know, to come out of the East. But if I got to pick between Philly and the field, I'm gonna pick the field every time. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think for regular season wise, it's good. I think if they can get the first seed, they have some, a lot of people got to come to Philly, all that good shit. Yeah, we all know injuries are part. Joel's got to stay healthy. Harden got to stay healthy. But I don't believe this shit. And there's two niggas why I don't believe this shit. Doc Rivers and James Harden. These are historical chokers. Historical. Like, we'll be here all goddamn day naming both of these two greatest hits of choking in the playoffs. They got to show it to me. I don't give a damn what they doing in the regular season. None of this shit matters to me, bro. It's cool. You know, I know Philadelphia's having an amazing sports town moment right now. I'm very jealous of the city of Philadelphia. As a Chicago sports fan,
because it's supposed to be us.
Yeah, it's supposed to be us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. The Phillies went to the fucking World Series last year, and the Sixers out here, you know, playing great basketball, have a chance to be number one seed. But I don't believe this is going to be a team that's going to join the Eagles and the Phillies in making the championship round, because I just don't believe that James Harden is going to be able to make plays at the end of the game when they need him to make plays, when they're making life difficult. For James Harden, Joel Embiid, and I damn sure don't believe in Doc Rivers. I just don't. Doc is a one-hit wonder. I hate to say it, because I really like Doc. He's a cool guy. He's a Chicago guy, but it is what it is, bro. Like, he gets him and a lot of the 08 Celtics get too much love for that championship, and it's just like it's just like you would think they were a dynasty the way niggas talk about the 08 Celtics and everything involved in it.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
No, I just think with the 08 Celtics, it was. Three, well, at least two, like, I would even say three back then. It was three guys who were really likable, who really, you know, at least around the league, it's like
they paid their dues. I don't think there was ever a time when people liked Paul Pierce.
That's why I said maybe. I was just stretching it with Paul. But three guys, well, I would say even if it's not liked, respected around the league because of what he did and because of his game. And it was like, these are three dudes who was chasing the ring. And it was like, three dudes chasing the ring. Doc had never gotten the ring. Doc hadn't got out the first round. And they was like, all right, you know, it was just a perfect storm. So I agree. They definitely get a lot of leeway. And most chance, like, we talk about that Celtics team more than we talk about the Bad Boy Pistons. And,
you know, that's a good point. And, you know, somebody said that, I think I was watching All the Smoke, and they asked, there's Freddie Gibbs on there. And Freddie Gibbs said that he feels that the Bad Boys are dynasty. First of all, they're not. But I do feel like they're one of the most disrespected teams. Now, there's a reason they're disrespected.
Yeah, very because
they
so.
Carried themselves like some fucking assholes. Like, and I just don't like the promo run that Isaiah Thomas has been on, acting like he don't know why people don't like him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's as easy to point to Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan wasn't the only nigga who didn't want him on the fucking dream team. Nobody wanted him on there. Scottie didn't want him on there. Larry Bird didn't want him on there. And I know Magic and them are cool now, but Magic was not fucking with that nigga when it was dream team.
Scottie put his name on it. He said, I didn't.
One of the few things I respect about Scottie Pippen at this particular juncture in his life. And he was like, no, I was one of the niggas who said I didn't want him on there. But you're right. We talk about the 08 Celtics, a team that won one championship. In the middle of a run that you really only think about the Lakers, honestly. Like, during that whole period, you think about the Lakers and LeBron's come up in the East. I don't really think about them niggas like that. And even they were in the middle of the Detroit Pistons' little 4 or 5 year run where they're going to these conference finals every year. Outside of a team that is, they're not a dynasty, the Bad Boys, but they're legendary. They changed the way the game was played. They were the first real big bads in the NBA. We don't talk about them.
Larry Bird. Isaiah Thomas is the only person to beat Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird.
In the same postseason.
Only person. Only person to do it. So,
and like, nobody cares because of how
you got to give him love. Yeah, you got to give him his love, even though he was a dickhead. I'm like, you know, you got to show love.
And by the way, I don't know this nigga. He might be a great guy. I don't know.
I've heard great things. Obviously,
it's real stand up nigga things about
Isaiah. It's a mixed bag because you heard some stand up thing.
I've heard some goofy back nigga shit about Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
That's life.
Half of my family is from out west, so I've heard
the duality of man.
I've heard exactly the duality of a man. I've heard mixed things about him, but you're right. And I just feel like Doc Rivers and not even Embiid. I don't blame Embiid. You know what I'm saying? Embiid is really his issue is health. But James Harden and Doc Rivers got to prove it to me before I'm giving the Sixers anything long term wise. Now, as far as regular season, they're playing well. That was a big win against one of the best teams in the NBA. I feel like Embiid feel he's slighted, and we'll get to that when we get to the All-Star starters in a minute because I have a two-way take on that. But they're playing good ball, but long-term, they got to show it to me.
Hold on. Speaking of that, like I told you earlier about Embiid, him, you know, needing to make it, he currently has the highest usage rate in the league, 37.9. So there you go.
There you go.
Godspeed.
Godspeed to them. Let's talk about a team that I just don't like. I'm just going to be flat out with it. I just don't like these niggas. And I don't think a lot of people, I think they've taken the crown from the Phoenix Suns as the most unlikable team in the NBA. I don't like this team, but I like their star player. I like Ja. We're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they are the most Generation Z-ass basketball team. And I'm going to sound like an old head when I say this. When you think about these the Generation Z and they annoying ass, you think about the fucking Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I said on my show 2 weeks ago, I'm not going to hold you, that I feel like the Grizzlies need to make a trade because they need to be able to take advantage of this window right now in the Western Conference where it is wide the fuck open. This is one of the few years where the Warriors aren't just out here kicking anybody ass. You can sell me on about 4 or 5 teams that can actually win the Western Conference. You need to go out there and make a trade and get Ja a legit second option because Desmond Bane, he cool. Desmond Bane ain't a 2 on a championship team whatsoever. I'm not even sure Desmond Bane is a 3 on a championship team. Desmond Bane is one is a 4 to me, a guy who can get you about 18 to 20 a game. You know what I'm saying? His ceiling to me is like a Luol Deng. And I say this respectfully because I felt like Luol Deng was a really, really good player. But they need to go out there and get Ja guy. But this is a team where they talk a lot of shit. And things have not been great for them since Ja's I'm good in the West comments that he told Malika Andrews. And after they said that, they got smacked up by the Warriors on national TV on Christmas while Steph Curry was sitting on the sideline dressed like fucking Tom Joyner. Since then, not only that, we know the big dust up against them and Shannon Sharp. And by the way, what's your opinion on the Shannon Sharp thing? Because I gave mine on multiple shows. What do you think about that whole incident?
I think at some point, like we sit here and talk about, you know, fans wilding and shit like that, but that was really one of those moments where Dylan Brooks was doing too much. Like, going over there, just sitting there screaming, fuck you, all of that. Was Shannon tripping? Yes, and that's why he apologized, because he knew at the end of the day he didn't have to do all of that. But it goes to a point where I'm like, it's like, bro, that was ridiculous. And it goes into what this topic is. It's like about the Memphis Grizzlies doing too much. And I'm like, I'm with you. I like Ja a lot. I really do. But all the hood shit gets excessive. Like, that's, you are who you are. Don't get me wrong. If somebody, that's just who you are, cool. But it's like, bro, you're a professional athlete now. Like, at this point, you can lay that down. No. Like getting on the same, you know, I think he tweeted like Free Thugger or some shit the other day. It's like brother, that's not something you really want to tie yourself to. Like, he's going down.
You're right. That nigga is going to prison. Okay.
You just dropped your first Nike shoe. Like,
exactly. That nigga's going to prison, yeah, bro.
But it's just young people shit. And I also think, like I said, not to try to clown job, but I think at the same time, a lot of us as products of, you know, hip hop culture, like I said, I don't know the nigga. I don't know how he grew up in the Carolinas, but being products of hip hop culture, we talk like this. We speak a certain way. You certain slang, you use certain things. So like him saying, you know, I'm good in the West, like, you know, like he pocket some shit. It's funny, but at the end of the day, they need to start hooping. And like,
but that's my problem with it. And my problem isn't the shit talking. It's what the fuck have you done? Like, you know what I'm saying? What the fuck have you done? Not only do you have the whole situation with Shannon, you lost that goddamn game in hilarious fashion and then followed up with like a 5-6 game losing streak against all Western Conference opponents, by the way. It's like every last one of them was like, oh no, you're not good in the West. You're not at all good in the West. They lost the game where Jordan Poole gave it to these niggas. He just like, here, take this game. This is a game where Steph Curry got ejected because he was mad at his teammate for taking a dickhead shot. That shit was hilarious to me. Now, I know that's an immediate ejection because he threw a mouthpiece. Steph did that before, of course, we know in the 2016 final. But the fact that he wasn't doing throwing it at the ref, he was mad at his own fucking teammate. All this shit happens, and you let this nigga win the game. Like, it's just things like that. Well, basketball-wise, if you're going to talk shit, you got to back it up. Like we saw this past weekend, the Bengals talked all that shit, Burrowhead and all this other shit. They looking stupid right now. I have nothing wrong with talking shit. I talk a lot of shit. But back it up, bro, and they have done nothing. You would think this team made a conference final last year. Like, I would expect this from the Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? The Mavericks went to the conference finals. They got maybe, you know, a top three player in the league right now. The Grizzlies ain't done nothing to be popping off the way they popping off. And it's to the point where I don't even think the rest of the West gets mad. They just laugh at them niggas. Like, that's why I think it's at right now. All like, oh, you niggas is cute. And now that you got showed up, whether we could talk about whether it's professional or not by Shannon, y'all know how I feel about that if you listen to my show. But y'all went out like some bitches. Y'all got hold by a 58-year-old. And then you lost the game, and then continued to lose for a fucking week. And that just looks bad to me. And I feel like right now they're free-falling, and they need to switch the narrative. And I'm not saying you got to change the style up. You are who you are. They're a young team. They is. But as far as winning games, they need to get some more because this shit ain't going to work.
You know who the Grizzlies are?
Who?
They're the Indiana Pacers. They're the Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. It's like the media always picks a young team and says, this is the next one. They're up next. And they, you know, they may win up. Shit, the Bulls are one of these teams. You get a number one seed or two seed or whatever.
Bulls have excuse, though. Run.
Yeah, I mean, of course. And like, you know, we want to wish them full health and all of that. But until they actually, you know.
But even the Bulls made a conference final. The Pacers made a conference. Pacers made two conference finals.
Yeah. So, like, this, like I said, this is one of those. In that mold of this is a young team and the media is behind them and they're smelling themselves, but the rest of the league, I mean, I don't think people fear the Memphis Grizzlies.
No, they don't. And you know what makes me mad about last year's playoff series? Everybody says, well, Ja got hurt. Hope y'all remember in that game when Ja got hurt, they were getting their asses beat by like 30. But they were getting the brakes beat off them niggas with Ja playing.
Ran out the gym.
I don't hear none of that shit. So it's like, I really do. I'm with you, the league looking like, oh, eh, that's cute. But it's like, they got to do something, bro. Because it's just like, you bring up the players and somebody else said that they're the Gen Z Lob City. And I died fucking laughing. Like, that might be one, too.
That was a really good team that didn't win shit.
Like, the Gen Z Lob City.
Like, I really like Lob City.
In retrospect, think you have a championship team with DeAndre Jordan as your third option is nuts when you think about it.
But he fell off a cliff, boy. Like,
yes, he fell off a fucking cliff, man. But hey, man, the Grizzlies need to make a move. I think this trade deadline is going to be exciting because I think we're going to see a lot of unpredictable trades. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that's going to be like, okay, we care about making a play in. We're going to pack this shit up and go full tank for Wembanyama. That's why I think this conversation is going to go over the next week, man. So. That's just how I feel about the Grizzlies, man. But let's talk about All-Star. All-Star game is like 3 weeks away. It's the week after the Super Bowl. All-Star starters were announced last week. Now, you have it in front of you. Correct me if I'm wrong. The captains in the West is LeBron. In the East is Giannis. In the West is Steph, Luka, Ja, and who's the other one?
It's not Ja.
Not Ja. It's Luka.
It's Steph, Luka, Joker, and Zion.
Isaiah, go ahead with LeBron. Who's in the East?
In the East pool, my bad. In the East pool, it's KD, Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum.
Okay. And the big conversation here was Embiid being left out. Now, we are in a league right now where they're just voting front court and back court, which I don't like. And, you know, Shaq had a massive problem with this on Inside the NBA because we all know Shaq is the ambassador for all big men, you know. For niggas who didn't watch Shaq, not us because we grew up on Shaq, when he tells y'all he averaged 28 and 15, don't listen to this nigga because he's lying. I don't ever remember a time in my life where this nigga averaged 15 rebounds, but I digress. He is the president of the big men. He says he feels like the NBA is trying to phase out the big men with the way they're voting. And I kind of do agree with that because Embiid should be starting. Now, I don't think it's something that we need to make that big of a deal of. It's the fucking all-star game. It's the exhibition game where players don't even really give a fuck to the last 2 minutes of it. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't even like when people argue about, you know, well, so-and-so, they should take fan vote away. Or they shouldn't. It's a game for the fans. Like, you know, that's what it's for. But what do you think about the way they voted? And do you think, like, you know, maybe that he was robbed?
I mean, yeah, he was definitely robbed. Talking about one of the top five players in the league right now, he should be starting in the All-Star game. I understand it's a fan game, and, you know, a lot of that is weighed heavily into what happens. But at the end of the day, that's somebody who, without a doubt, should be starting in the All-Star game. So I think he definitely has a legitimate gripe. And, you know, normally that's not the case with All-Star selections. But, yeah. No, Embiid, he should be starting.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. On the West, I have no problems. Not seeing somebody like Josh be starting over Steph Curry. No. It's just no. I'm not even gonna entertain that one.
But, no, I mean, I could see it. I could see it simply off games played. That's literally it. But now that Steph is healthy, no, it's not. I don't know.
Goes back to the fans. Little kid, like Steph is like Jesus to little kids. Like they want to see that nigga. And even with Luka, like I got my first ever Luka Magic experience a couple weeks ago when I saw him play the Clippers. And I've seen in the year that I've covered the Clippers, only two people where there are kids literally waiting by the entrance to the court for this particular player to come out for pregame warmups. It's LeBron James and Stephen Curry. When I tell you, I saw more kids for Luka than I've seen for both of them, blew my mind. Like, this nigga Luka is a star, and they want to see him too, so I have no problem really with these votes. Now, this week, the All-Star reserves will be named. I don't know if you know how many reserves make each team.
That I'm not sure. Let me see if they got it on here.
But so yeah, I just want to name some names of people who we think should be reserves in the West and the East. With the East, first of all, no Chicago Bulls should be on this roster. I want to be very clear about that. Be very clear. I see some of you niggas try to sneak a DeMar DeRozan on your ballots. I love DeMar. The fuck out of my face. The $200 million guy who I will not name at this particular moment, he damn sure he shouldn't be anywhere near the state of Utah come mid-February. Just stay the fuck away. But I think some names you think about, Jalen Brunson should be in there. Fucking Julius Randle, he should be in there, of course.
Yeah, Embiid, he should also be there.
Embiid should be one, should be in there. I'm trying to think who else.
I think the rookie Paolo should be in there.
Paolo's getting out, probably not over Jalen Brown. Jalen Brown's got to make it.
Jimmy Butler, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Kuzma been playing well. I think we can't have no Washington
Wizards in all star game.
Yeah, James Harden, Trae Young. We forgot about Trae Young. I forget about Trae on purpose. Yeah, Trey's very look at the box score, but like, oh damn, he did this. You watched the game.
You watched the game, like this nigga didn't do shit.
All right. Yeah, but that's a lot of good players. Laurie Markkanen ain't gonna make his first All-Star game.
Yep, Laurie's gonna make his first. Yeah. So I'm really excited.
Shai gonna make his first.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Look, man, I understand the Clippers had to do that trade because you had to do what you had to do to get Kawhi and Paul George. Even though the niggas have played like 20 games together in the 4 years they've been here. But Shai, when I tell you that I would trade every nigga on this Bulls roster for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, him and Dame are the epitome of we going to get you out of there. And at this point, I'm actually going to stop begging Dame to leave because he must obviously just love playing in mediocrity at this point. Like, I don't even care about when this nigga scores 60 anymore.
Brother, if I've made, you know, $400+ million, my family's good, the community loves me.
I get all of that. You make brilliant points.
I get a lot of y'all had this championship drive and all that shit, but I've won that life. So yeah, y'all can kiss my ass. So like, I feel Dame. Like, if you want to come play with me, come play with me, but I'm not going to run around and jump team to team and do all this extra shit.
I understand. I get your point. I'm not mad at that. That makes a lot of sense. But I want to win at the game of basketball. Every nigga in the NBA didn't won the game of life. I want to win the game of basketball. And my fear for Dame is that we gonna look at this nigga 10, 15 years. No, my nigga, we was cool. We can score. I'm like, and that's just where the conversation is gonna stop.
You know who Dame gonna be?
Who?
He gonna be Alex English.
Probably. He's like, gonna be Adrian Dantley.
I saw a lot of old heads talking about how Alex English was getting buckets for a very long time. And like, because Bron's been doing all this scoring, like Alex English is one of the first. I don't want to say he was the first, but he averaged 35 at, you know, at age 36. No, he averaged 30 at like 36 or some shit like that. Like just getting buckets. And so like I think that's somebody like Dame. Like we're gonna remember all the deep threes, the buckets and things like that. But you're not. People are not gonna really gonna be like, oh yeah, Damian Lillard, I remember. Unless you're a true fan of the game, then we all gonna be like, yeah.
True fan of the game, yeah. He's going to be, and this is a guy who's been to a conference final. I was gonna compare him to T-Mac, but I was like, nah, T-Mac ain't even come out the first round. That'd be disrespectful today. But yeah, this is gonna be one of the things. Like, oh, that nigga was a good score. You know what I'm saying?
In the bubble, he went to conference in the bubble, right?
No, it was against the Nuggets. That was first round. Oh, Lakers played the Nuggets in the first round. If you want to count that social experiment. But All-Star game coming up. That dunk contest is, I don't even know one name on that fucking list. And I'm just like, whatever, to that point with the dunk contest. Dunk contest become like the Pro Bowl, damn near. But All-Star coming up, man, looking forward to that. We're going to wrap this up with the biggest, one of the biggest stories in the NBA right now is LeBron James getting closer and closer to breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record. Now, he did sit out the game against the Nets.
Shit.
He will be playing the Knicks on Tuesday, which, of course, when you listen to this, will be tonight. We're guessing he's going to play. You never know how the NBA is. But he's 117 points away. They're on a road trip right now. You have the schedule in front of you of when we can guess on when we think LeBron is going to break this record.
Let's see. After they play the Knicks on Thursday, they play the Indiana Pacers. On Friday, they play the New Orleans Pelicans. No, Saturday, I'm sorry. Tuesday, they head back home against OKC. I think he's going to break it Thursday, February 9th, in LA, against the Milwaukee Bucks on TNT.
That's what I think. Now, he's 117 points away. Now, how many would he have to average for that? That's four games from now, right?
It's 117 divided by four, nigga. I'm no mathematician.
Now, granted, it's the Chicago Public Schooling.
He need to average 30 for the next four games. 29.25.
Okay. So, and who they play after the Bucks? They play the Warriors, don't they?
After the Bucks, they play the Warriors in Golden State on ABC.
I think it's going to be one of those two games. It's going to be one of those two games. I can see that. I'm going to say against the Golden State Warriors, just because that's the team that we're going to forever link LeBron with, his battles against the Warriors. If you want to call it that, they're mainly kicking his ass. But his battles with the Warriors.
Getting stumped out
on ABC against Steph Curry, the guy who he's sharing this era with Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy on the call. To me, that's where it's going to happen. Yeah. And it's in Golden State or it's in Los Angeles?
It's in Golden State.
That's where I think it's going to happen. And get ready for a week or two of ridiculous conversation. But I will say this. Now, I'm going to give some love to LeBron here. I will say about this record, because it's not a matter of if he's going to break it. One thing that I'm looking to is Kareem bitter ass going to congratulate LeBron? This is something I'm really looking forward to see.
Oh, no. That's he's going to be insufferable. Like, you know, back in my day.
There's two things I'm looking at. One, how is Kareem going to react to it? Number two, more importantly, that I don't think nobody outside of LA is paying attention to, how is Laker Nation going to respond to it? Because that I've been saying since LeBron is a Laker, something I'm glad that Keyshawn Johnson said on his show last week, LeBron is not a legendary Laker. Now, I do believe that LeBron will get his jersey retired, because when it's all said and done, the Lakers will be his second longest tenure team since he's been in the league. It's already a second longest tenure team since he's been. Of course, Cavs is number one. He's going to have his jersey retired in Cleveland. He's going to have a fucking statue outside of the queue or whatever name of the damn arena is right now. I think he's going to get his jersey retired in every spot he went to. Now, Pat Riley is a bitter old fuck, so it might take him a long time before Pat Riley gets over this nigga leaving and he puts his jersey in the rafters. But I do think LeBron will have his jersey retired by all three teams. Now, I'm interested to see how Laker Nation is going to treat this, because he is breaking the record of a guy who we look at is one of the all-time best Lakers, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So I'm looking at those two type of things. And if he does break it at home against the Bucks, what's going to be the reaction? Because a lot of Laker fans wasn't happy when he passed Kobe for all-time scoring. I'm going to keep it real. But it was not the reception. Now, of course, we didn't get the full thing because the next night Kobe died. But I'm interested to see what that reception is going to be like. But for LeBron's career, I think this is going to be something that's going to be able to separate him from Michael Jordan. Now, we're going to always have the GOAT conversation from here into eternity. If you're a LeBron guy, there's nothing that Michael Jordan did that is going to change your mind. If you are a guy with sense like myself, and you have Michael Jordan as your GOAT, it doesn't matter what LeBron does, it's not going to change your mind. But one thing that we can't debate, whether you're a Michael Jordan stan or a LeBron stan, is there's nobody in the history of the NBA who has done it as long and as great as LeBron James. The way he's playing right now would be amazing for somebody who's 10 years younger than him. So for somebody his age doing it is incredible, and I think that's going to be his legacy, the longevity that he played with, and that's something that's going to be able to separate him from a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant or, you know, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, statistically, he's going to be the GOAT. Like, and, you know, as you know, no matter what people feel and how much they don't like it, the game is leaning towards statistics. And so you're going to have people who are the historians of the game, you know, as more and more players, even though players are jumping into the media, as they get phased out, and you have these people who are talking about who the greats are, they're going to go off the record books. And, you know, like you said, LeBron's going to be, when you won 101A in every major statistical category, it just speaks to your greatness. So
I agree that I also think you're giving too much credit to fans and media nowadays.
No,
when it comes to stats.
No. I'm just saying more so media and people who vote for awards and shit like that. More so them. Like fans are always gonna be fans and have their opinions. And that's the beautiful thing about it, because I think as a fan, you should. I think fans shouldn't only go by stats. I think niggas like us who are trying to produce content and people who are like trying to work in these realms professionally, yes, you have to use numbers. But if a fan come up to me and just tell me, well, this is my guy, I like him, all right, I rock with it. Go ahead, go crazy. Like,
well, yeah, I'm gonna tell them you're wrong.
I may think you're fucking. Yeah, I might think you're crazy.
I might think you're out of your fucking mind. But that's your right as a fan.
Your right as a fan.
And I feel like also too in just sports in general, we're ranking. We have to rank everything. Like even like the thing that Stephen A. Smith got in trouble for like 2 weeks ago, when he said, "I like Rihanna, but she's no Beyonce," and they be like, "Well, that was unnecessary." But you got to understand, Stephen A. comes from a world where we compare everything. So it wasn't something he was doing in disrespect Rihanna. He compares everything every fucking morning. So we even look some of the NFL. I saw somebody say, "Well, Patrick Mahomes wins next Sunday. Is he the second greatest quarterback after Brady?" I'm like, you can't skip steps. I love Pat. You can't put him over Peyton Manning yet. You can't put him over these other guys. Now, if you're talking about talent, different discussion. Even with talent-wise, if you want to go off talent, I think LeBron James is the most talented player to ever pick up a basketball. If we're just going off sheer talent, I think he's the most talented player to ever pick up a basketball.
Yep.
You say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes. You can argue that Patrick Mahomes is the most talented player to play the game of football. But you got to put in accolades and other things now LeBron has those things, but for like a Patrick Mahomes, he got more work to do. We can't be just putting him in front of all-time greats yet. So I think it's just really of a compare culture. But I do think LeBron is going to have his own wave and his own era where people say he's the GOAT, because the further we get from it, you're never going to forget Michael Jordan. But there's kids right now who wearing his damn shoes who don't remember the reverse layup against, you know, the fucking Sam Perkins, nigga. Like, so we're going to get further and further the game where people are going to forget that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people out there who don't remember how great Kevin Garnett was. You know, we're at the point where underestimating Tim Duncan. Like, I think people get how great a defender he was. So you're right that LeBron is going to have his time, especially when he retired and his documentary comes out, things of that nature. With the general, I don't know about general consistency, but he's going to have more of a GOAT argument, I guess you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
So that's all we got for y'all today, man. Ball Don't Lie, episode 170. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and then we'll be back on our regular weekly schedule where we'll be leading y'all through the last quarter of the season, the NBA heading to the playoffs, and of course the NBA finals, all of that. So Y'all don't follow us on Twitter and Instagram, man, at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and IG. Visit the website, thebcnet.com, man. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network, man. We out. We're going to holler at y'all in 2 weeks.